Next up is 2178, Chris, would you introduce this subject, please?
Yes. Case 2178, complainant is Valeria Valdez, and the respondent is Karen L. Marston, DBM. On May 25th, 2020, CK, a 13-year-old male chihuahua, was presented to respondent on the emergency due to labored breathing. The dog was examined and radiographs were performed, which revealed pneumonia and heart disease. Respondent recommended starting the dog on antibiotics and cardiac medications. Complainant declined the cardiac medications and wanted to follow up with her primary veterinarian. Respondent recommended further diagnostics and to have the repeat radiographs, and have repeat radiographs in 2 weeks, unless the dog's condition declined. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded the board dismissed this issue of no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 3-0.
Okay, we have no respondent, no complainant. Mr. Stoll, monitoring?
Yes, sir.
And Dr. James, you're the lead on this one.
So this case, I think there were a couple things that were kind of discussed as potential issues. The wait time certainly, you know, would be a concern in cases like this where there are emergent procedures and things that need to be treated. But in looking at the timeline here, I don't feel like for emergency type practice that this was excessive wait times. The vet can't really control that either. They can only do what they can do as quickly as they can do it. But I don't see that the wait times were that out of line. I mean, it was an hour and a half before the song, and then it was an hour to get the staff x-rays read. There was time in there doing the x-rays, so I don't feel like that was an issue. I think there was also some concern about the dog not being sent home with cardiac medications, and whether the vet recommended it and it was declined, or whether it was kind of like you should follow up with your primary veterinarian to get cardiac medications. It was kind of a little bit unclear, although it does look like, from my perspective, that the doctor recommended it. In fact, she even went on to recommend additional diagnostics and the protocol for 2-week follow-up x-rays, so I feel like she wouldn't have recommended all these diagnostics and not have recommended any medication. So I do feel like the owner declined it, thinking that they would go to their regular vet, and then unfortunately, the dog declined, and we are where we are. So I don't actually see violations of our practice act rules in this case, so I would support the investigative committee findings and find no violations in 2178.
We have a motion.
Second.
And now we have a second.
That lets you anticipate.
Any further discussion on 2178? I guess I would add in here that you don't, it doesn't seem like this dog was on any kind of a heart medication list to begin with. It's 13 years old, so again, how long has this been going on, either unnoticed or unintended to, before it was given to the veterinarian? I mean, it doesn't just happen overnight. It wasn't like a cardiac arrest, it was an ongoing disease issue, so. All right, any other discussion? Motion on the floor to dismiss 2178. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. 2178 is dismissed. Next up is 2179. Would you read us the summary, please?
Yes, case 2179, the complainant is Darrell Bird, the respondent is Ellen Ryan, DBM. On January 21st, 2020, Nala, a 20-year-old female canine corso, was presented to respondent for an ear pop. The dog was discharged later that day with medications and instructions to return for the appropriate rechecks. The dog's ears did not stand as expected, and complainant stated that the ears were cut too short. Complainant expressed concerns with respondent's conduct and felt she was not truthful with him throughout the process. Respondent stated that complainant signed a surgical authorization form explaining ear cropping was a cosmetic procedure There were no guarantees that the procedure performed will conform to the ideals of each individual. There was no guarantee that the procedures would stand. And the committee concluded that no violation of the veterinary practice act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded before dismissal issue of no violation. The motion was approved by a vote of 3-0.
So we have no respondent, no complaint, and nobody monitoring. And Dr. Wright, you believe?
Thank you. So going through this, again, I don't see any issues with the actual medical care here. When this comes to cosmetic procedures like this, it's not always going to be 100% desirable results. I mean, just like in human plastic surgery, stuff's going to happen. That's cosmetic. That's the issue. If there was a problem with technique, or if there was an issue with the surgery that I was seeing, that's a whole different story. But non-desired outcome in a cosmetic procedure, that's not a violation of anything. So I'm going to make a motion to dismiss this with no violation.
Second.
Motion for and a second to dismiss 2179. Any further discussion? I would just add that they had them sign a form that, I mean, here's the direct quote: there is no guarantee, all in capitals, that the procedures performed will conform to the ideals of each individual client. And they signed off on it. So, I mean, that's upfront before anything was done.
There's a reason most of us don't do this kind of thing anymore. It's cosmetic and cosmetic only. It has no benefit to any life, so it just causes problems.
Hence the drive from Gilbert to Buckeye.
Yeah, they asked her to do another procedure for them. So that really kind of sat wrong with me. Why would you have her do it again if you felt like she was unprofessional and incompetent at what, as we were dating, you know? I completely didn't understand that.
Yeah.
All right, any further discussion? The motion on the floor is to dismiss 2179. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The motion passes, 2179 is dismissed. Last IR, 21146. And this is a brought by the board, or opened by the board. Chris, can you read the summary, please?
Sure. Case 21-146. They consulted with the Arizona State Veterinary Medical Examining Board. The respondent was John Alpha for EDM. On May 19, 2021, the Arizona State Veterinary Medical Examining Board voted to open an investigation after reviewing respondent's premises inspection results. Since 2003, respondent has had 4 premises inspections where the same or similar violations have been found. After each inspection, respondent reported that he had corrected those issues noted in on the inspections. And so this did not go in front of the investigative committee. It was brought back to you for review.
So we have no respondent. We have a quorum of complainants. And Ms. Solon, you're the lead.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I wanted to emphasize for the record that on the 423 inspection, there were 19 potential violations, of which 13 were repeat from prior inspections in either 2008 or 2016, and 3 of those involved controlled drugs. So I would like to move this to an informal and to hear from Dr. Oplinger and consider offering a consent agreement at that hearing.
I'll second that. I'm just reading through the responses. I'm a little annoyed at the snark and the disdain that is in his responses.
Snarky with the adjective I use.
Yeah. Yes. So yes. I have a major problem with his response to us. Dad
wants to see in the so as part of the discussion, I'd like to ask counsel, can we go directly to a formal?
Yes. To a formal?
Where, and I just want to make you know the.
Yes.
So the point of going to the informal is it to ask additional questions? Because I feel like the inspection is pretty clear, or is it more because we want to see his reaction
Well, that's why he's asking about a form. We'll just go straight to it.
Just go straight to the form. Probably waste time.
Yeah, that's fine.
Because if his attitude doesn't, if his major attitude changed, firm size is gone, and whoever the new owner is, and that's finding the responsible veterinarian.
I mean, my initial thought was to offer a consent agreement, but now.
I've got terms I can propose to the board if you'd like to.
I think going straight to a consent agreement is, I mean, it's an option, but I think this demands him being in front of us and answering our questions directly as opposed to these responses on paper, which you just get away with whatever he wants to say.
So then you want to go to an informal?
Informal.
Yeah. Okay.
So that you could answer questions. Because you can't ask really questions very well in a formal.
Yeah. And
I don't know that I have any questions to ask.
I mean, I can go either way, honestly, because I mean, I do have questions, but I mean, are those questions really going to change anything? I doubt it.
No.
So, I mean, I'd be okay with the formal, too.
I mean, the repetition, and you have four inspections in a row here, where obviously he's saying he's corrected these in the previous three. Only in this last one did he get kind of sarcastic in his answers. And basically saying for some of them, well, I'm not going to do that.
Right.
So, do we ever know, since they're repeated, that he ever in any of those over this, you know, 15 year span or 20 year span, has he ever made any of those corrections? Or has he just waited till the, well, I think his answers in this fourth answer that question. Mm-hmm. No, he didn't.
Yeah. And you have this kind of snark and this kind of disdain. You know you didn't fix it again.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to do it. You're willfully not wanting to do it.
Yeah.
It could be viewed as an opportunity for education. AAVSB actually offers CE on such things as the role of regulations in veterinary practice and the role of regulatory bodies. Because there seems to be the belief that by Dr. Oplinger that each veterinarian is under their own interpretation of what the statutes and rules are. And obviously that would be total chaos and completely illegal. So I think there is an opportunity for education here. I would support going to a consent agreement with a hefty number of CE requirements and a fine to see if any corrective action can be done. But if the board wishes not to go straight to informal, I would support that also. But I think there was an opportunity for education here.
And there's also the hybrid. You may remember from previous months where you can offer the consent agreement, and if not signed, then whether you want to invite them in for an informal or just go directly informal, it really won't delay the timing of the events that significantly. And it prevents them from having to come back to the
if a direct conversation with us is better than just back and forth documents. That's kind of my concern. Is there's a point where it's like, I think we need to actually have a conversation as opposed to here, read this, now respond to it, now we're going to respond to that, now you're going to respond to us. I think we've kind of gone past that point, personally. So, I mean, the consent agreement may be in the future, but I think that we need to demand that he's in front of us, personally.
And I would, once you get to, I think, the back and forth already happened, I think once you get to the point of the consent agreement, we're not going to negotiate with you on the consent agreement. You're either going to sign it or you're going to come to the formal.
Right.
I don't think there's a lot of back and forth. I don't see harm in doing it, doing the consent agreement.
I'm kind of showing people in front of me.
I can kind of show him what's going to happen up front.
Yeah.
Even if he decides, well, no, I'm not going to sign that. He's going to have to come in and answer, and he's going to know what potentially could happen.
I mean, I could go either way. I just always like the benefit of seeing someone. If we want to do that after the fact, that's fine too. I see the best case scenario is signing a consent agreement, and we're in the same situation here at the next inspection. That's just what I see.
Okay. So the initial motion, what's on the floor now, and second, is to move to informal.
Yeah.
Well, let's. Jane, can you tell us what you had in mind
for the consent agreement? Absolutely. Absolutely. 2 years of probation, a minimum of 8 hours of CE, including 2 hours on regulation of the profession, 2 hours on medical record keeping, 2 hours on controlled substance management, and 2 hours on best practices and implementation. A practice monitor at his cost for 2 years, and a penalty of $500.
I like most of it, or not most, I like all of it, but I don't see the CE itself changing anything. I mean, sitting in a classroom, I don't see that changing a mentality, in my opinion. I think the practice monitor is an amazing idea, I like that. And I think either way, that would be a good thing, but I just, like sitting in class, well, you should have been doing that for 20 hours every couple of years anyway. What are we learning in those classes? So I don't know if just CE alone would, that's just my thought. I see a pattern here, and patterns don't break easy.
And we're not doing it alone.
What's that?
But we're not doing it alone. Doing one with probation.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Yeah.
The only thing I would add to the fines would be, how many are controlled substances?
Three.
About 500 apiece for the three controlled substances.
I can't support that.
That's going to be making, that's
going to get some attention.
Yeah, and that's my quip here, is like I said, I just see this being like a flippin' meh type thing.
Because
it's already been 4 times like that. What's the fifth?
I just keep hoping and hearing from some objective instructor on regulation of the profession, and some hoping that somehow that will get through.
So if
I love your optimism.
If we brought him in for
that's why I get all the substance abuse cases.
So if we brought him in for an informal so that we could ask questions, would there be answers that would be given that would make you say, you know what, your ability to be a responsible veterinarian is no longer entertained by the board? You're not going to be a responsible veterinarian in the future for this practice or any practice. Because if we want to get to the point where we just remove his ability to be a responsible vet, like we've had 3 inspections that you've not followed, you've not done anything to change, we're done. You no longer can be a responsible vet. So that's going to be the consent agreement. Because I'm sitting there going, as a practice owner, I certainly wouldn't want this person to be my responsible vet. And as a practice owner, I wouldn't want to pay a practice monitor to come in and do what the responsible vet should have been doing all along, right? Like, I don't know, is he capable of being a responsible vet? Like, clearly, he can still practice without being a responsible vet. I just don't think he's taking it seriously. And if he's not going to take it seriously, why do we want to allow him to continue?
I agree.
I'm just saying, I agree with what Dr. James was saying. I think that if the response to the violations, he isn't taking it seriously, and I think that being a responsible veterinarian is not something that's a right in this state. So, you know, I mean, he's absolutely a veterinarian, and we don't see any, complaints with his practicing, at least, on what's presented to us right now. So I think that's a good plan as far as the consent agreement.
I agree. I think that would be a good thing. I have a question for council, though. I mean, I know we can put pretty much anything in a consent agreement you want, but since we're already a licensed premise under his name, correct? Is it still active?
Is it still active?
Under his name? The license?
Yeah.
So, I mean, can you remove that in consent agreement itself, or do you have to go through a formal to be able to remove that? I mean, we could deny something, but once it's already there, do we have to go through the active and informed part to a formal to actually revoke it?
Yes.
Can it be done in consent agreement?
Yes. You would. If he's the licensed responsible veterinarian, and those are the concerns that you have, you want to remove him from being able to be the responsible veterinarian at that price, you need to go through that exercise, and you can certainly do that through the consent agreement, and then if not signed, then you would want to remand it to formal hearing, because you couldn't do that after any formal interview.
Okay, so we could say, here's consent agreements, surrender your license, and if not, we're going to go to a formal from there.
Yeah. You're responsible vet license.
Thank you. I like that. I mean, I could do that.
I mean, that'll get his attention.
Yeah.
Not
only will that get his attention, but you're not giving him an option to rehabilitate, to show you that he does want to do things right. That's the one thing that you won't be able to do if you with this option.
But I feel like he's had that three permits and inspections in a row.
Since
2008.
You know what I mean? Like, how much of the board's time and resources and animals have been put at risk because he's choosing to not do it, and he's had multiple times to do it?
And, and that's, you know, that's the case, that he's not regulatable as a responsible, you know, veterinarian in the premise, because, you know, he has this history of just disregarding doing it within the rules and the laws.
I have a question, Mr. Chairman of staff or council. It's my understanding that he is the sole veterinarian there and is the operator, owner of the practice?
That's correct.
So if we do that...
He's not, I apologize.
He's not the owner.
He's no longer...
That's right, he's sold. That would mean that the practice would have to, the premise would have to close?
Yes.
Or have somebody else.
Yeah. But that's, unfortunately, that's the responsibility of the owner to make sure that your employees are doing the right things. That owner should be coming in and saying, hey, this is not being done right. Now, the owner doesn't have the authority over that veterinarian other than firing him, but that's your business.
And the owner may not be a veterinarian.
No, exactly.
You're right.
So, but what I'm saying is that owner should have stepped in and said, look, you're doing this wrong. You're screwing up my business, and you're going to make me go back.
But the owner even know, right?
Well, I don't, but again, that falls back to the responsibility of the owner. That's not, that's a sad consideration because a third party's getting caught up in it, but that's, I mean, me as a boss, if I hire the wrong person, I've got to deal with the consequences. And unfortunately, it seems like it's just a consequence thing. I understand if we do the consent agreement thing, like Dr. James is saying, we're not giving them the ability to rehabilitate, but I'm assuming if we give them the ability to rehabilitate, we're going to be in the same conversation in a year or the next time there's an inspection. So even though it seems extreme, I don't dislike that suggestion.
It seems like we're doing our job.
No, it does. I in my mind, I think, and again, this is just me, because I go to the formal first, then the consent agreement, but I do like that. I'm just, call it an attribute or a character flaw. I am very good at giving people second, third, fourth, 17th chances. And I like saying, look, this is it. You're done.
And you can, correct me if I'm wrong, but you can hire a veterinarian to be your responsible veterinarian that doesn't do day-to-day practice at that hospital. So it's possible that they should hire another veterinarian, that really their sole responsibility in that practice is to make sure the clinic is running the way it's supposed to be.
Almost like the practice monitor itself.
Yes, that would be the practice monitor.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what, you hire someone, you pay them their liability to be able to take that on, and then you find relief doctors, you find another vet, you do something to keep your business going. But yeah, no, that's very true. Yes, it sounds like a board staff had a question, or a statement.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I just want to point out that the board in the past year has had two similar cases where the licensee was required to get a practice monitor. So, you know, in the spirit of consistency. Would you want to do something similar along the lines of what you did with those other two versus taking these extreme steps of possibly putting this practice out of business before you take other steps?
Could we Mr.
So
either
I would say that it's not necessarily the same because we didn't get the same responses.
Yeah. I mean, I think
it's the response.
We got refusals to sign CAs. We got, you know, one word answers. We got, there's some cases we got very little cooperation. Victoria, has he ever appeared before the board before?
Not regarding the premise that I know of.
I think
he's never had any complaints personally.
I just think that going straight to a formal is a bit extreme in this case. And he hasn't been before us. We haven't had an opportunity to converse with him, if that's possible, and compare it. And I do think consistency is extremely important. And I would go with how we've handled similar cases, as Victoria's mentioned, and offer the CA. And then if he refuses to sign, then go to a formal.
He may, based on the fact that he's still at the practice, may be winding down as far as his tenure at the practice anyway, so it's possible that this needs to be transitioned off, and that's why I feel like if you tell him he can no longer be the responsible vet, he may be okay with that and avoid
doing all the things as a consent agreement because he just really is washing his hands of it. Anyway, we don't know the situation, so that's where it gives him the opportunity to say, I'm fine not being the responsible vet, I don't agree with your rules, but I'm fine doing it. Or give him the opportunity, he can deny it and come to the formal and we can go back to, okay, if you're not gonna sign it, then here's the restrictions you're gonna get.
My concern is that removing him as a responsible vet doesn't mean that he's going to comply with all these potential violations that have been cited in the past.
Well, if he's removed, then it doesn't matter because...
Pardon?
If he's removed, it doesn't matter because then there's a new application, a new inspection for...
Right, but he's still a practice, he could still be a practicing veterinarian working there, not complying
with
those
regulations. But if I were the responsible vet and he were working there and not complying, he wouldn't be working there anymore.
Well, I think, you know, it may be helpful just to, you know, for purposes of this morning is determining whether or not you think he, you know, he can continue to be the responsible vet. And if your conclusion is not, then I think the, you know, your options are pretty, you know, they're identified. Offer a consent agreement for, you know, the surrender or the revocation. And if not accepted, remand the formal hearing. If you think that there may be a possibility where he can remain as the responsible veterinarian, then, you know, it's the consent agreement with terms, and if not accepted, invite him in to meet with you in an informal interview. So I think you just need to determine whether or not you think there might be a future for him as a responsible vet, or you think he's just demonstrated that he's simply unregulatable in that position.
Based on the written responsibilities and the history, I think he's offering.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I said based on the written response and the pattern and the history, I think he's unregulatable.
I think so too. Can you offer a mixed consent agreement? Like kind of both of them and say pick this, or we're going to a formal? I mean, that gets weird.
Well, I think, the short answer is yes, you could offer him two different types of consent agreements. But I think it really, I would ask that you consider just offering him one.
All right, so we're getting a lot of discussion on going three or four different pathways here. The motion on the floor is to move it forward.
So,
do we want to vote on that?
I withdraw the motion.
Right. So that motion was withdrawn.
The other option, if we do the consent agreement that Jane had initially set up, or something similar, and he says, I'm not going to do that, he still has the option to say, I'm no longer going to be responsible for that. We could still follow the process, right? We could still go to the formal because he was at the time this happened, but he may choose not to be the responsible vet, regardless of whether we put that in there.
Right, and that's certainly something that, you know, staff can communicate with him when presented the, you know, consent agreement with restrictions, saying, you know, if you don't want to be the responsible veterinarian, now's the time to let us know.
Because you can't surrender an actual license, but you can surrender a premise license, correct?
Well, you can,
yes.
Yeah, you can take yourself off
the premise.
Yeah,
the
premise.
Someone has to take over for you if you're going to keep working the
practice. But he doesn't have to have someone take over for him to remove his name. He can just remove it and then just wipe his hands clean, and then now he has no responsible vet until someone else applies for it, correct?
Well, it shouldn't be.
Because it's not a premise then.
It shouldn't be open until
yeah.
He had a new application in, but that would be the owner's problem,
yeah.
Not his, isn't it?
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion.
Please proceed.
I would like to offer a consent agreement that includes 2 years probation. And the consent agreement, the findings of fact are all the repeat violations and in particular the three controlled drugs violations that have been cited in the inspection report and the relative conclusions of law that are referenced there. The terms would be to 2 years probation, a minimum of 8 hours of CE, including 2 hours regulation of the profession, 2 hours medical records keeping, 2 hours controlled substance management, and 2 hours best practices and implementation. that there be a practice monitor at his cost for 2 years with quarterly reports to the board, and a penalty of $1,500, $500 for each controlled substance violation.
If not
signed within 30 days, it goes to formal.
Formal, informal, can there be formal?
Formal hearing.
Okay, keep in mind that you can accomplish everything that's in your proposed consent agreement after conducting an informal hearing. The only thing that you can't do, if you believe that he is after that interview, believe that, you know, he needs to be suspended or revoked, then at the conclusion you have to remand at the formal hearing.
That was my previous motion of going to informal when I didn't hear support from the board.
Yeah, I'd rather do that. Yeah, I don't think if you refuse the CA, it goes to formal to revoke or suspend. He's either gonna get on board or he's gonna go out.
Since this is not revoking or suspending an actual veterinary license, it will be revoking or suspending a cannabis license. Can you do that in an informal?
Can we revoke a premise license in an informal? So, and to add to amend my motion, that if not signed within 30 days, go to formal hearing for revocation of a cannabis license.
The downside is in the formal hearing, we're not gonna be able to really ask questions.
Not really, there'll be an opportunity,
It's like a trial.
Yeah, it's a hearing.
Yeah.
Soldiers?
Yeah, it's just, it's.
It's not as free questions.
Informal is a little bit more informal. You know, it's very much like, you know, when you have your licenses in front of you and you go back and forth. The only difference is that you can unilaterally impose discipline to a certain level after an informal hearing.
That's limited to a 30-day suspension and after an informal, so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if he doesn't sign a consent agreement, if we go this way, that'll be a whole lot of other questions.
That's what I was sensing from the board.
And can I just ask that the motion be amended? What I heard was that we were referencing the investigative report.
Yes, and the citations.
Yeah, and the investigator, so we're adopting the proposed findings of fact, but what we're missing is the proposed findings of fact references the rules. So if we could cite as the conclusion of law, I believe it's 32-16, which is how you comply with board rules.
Okay. I so amend.
So.
All right, so the motion is amended and seconded. Any further discussion?
Who seconded?
There has
you the original one?
Yeah.
You didn't do a second?
I will hold my second.
Thank you for dragging that out.
I don't know if it would be for board staff or council, but if we're issuing this type of consent agreement, are we able to alert the practice owner, or is this kind of one of those things that they could just be blindsided?
I think from a chamber of commerce, we can, staff can have a conversation, but it's somewhat limited because they're not regulated. It would be up to the licensee to be letting the owner know what's going on and what the possibilities are, and what kind of business challenges his conduct has put the business in.
Can we make it part of the consent agreement that he must have?
Have we had any conversations with the owner?
We can make that a condition of the consent agreement.
Can we make it a part of the consent agreement that he must inform his employer of the current status?
I so amend the consent agreement.
Yeah. Yeah, and can I ask you to make one more amendment, please? I miscited.
Okay, it's not 16?
It's 18.
18.
I apologize.
32, 22, 32, 18.
Thank you.
Can I re-second the amended motion the third time?
Yeah, can we just make sure that we restate it, just so it's clear?
Maker, you're going to make the maker of the motion do this, okay. Offer consent agreement that is with the violations of the rules, the findings of fact as stated in the inspection report, conclusions of law being violation of 32, 22, 32, 18, failure to comply with the rules.
Yeah, as they relate to those cited in the investigative.
As it relates to those cited in the inspection reports. To offer a consent agreement with 2 years probation, a minimum of 8 hours of CE, including 2 hours regulation of the profession, 2 hours medical record keeping, 2 hours controlled substance management, 2 hours best practices and implementation, that a practice monitor be hired at his expense for 2 years with quarterly reports to the board, that the current owner be advised be provided a copy of the consent agreement, and a penalty of $1,500, which is $500 per each controlled substance violation of the rules, and to, if not signed within 30 days, to go to a formal. Did I cover it all?
What did you want? I don't think they want the owner of the premises to respond, stating that they received a copy.
Yeah, and that's generally in the board of the, but that's what your understanding was. You want the owner of the premise to send a letter to the board.
Yes.
Indicating.
That they're acknowledging the situation, yes.
That, yeah, good, thank you.
All right, we have the restated motion.
Second.
And it is seconded.
And with the monitor, we have general language that gives the monitor the direction that they'll need as far as what the board's expectations are as their service. If not, I can work with you on getting that language. But is there anything specific that you want to make sure that the monitor does? Or is it just to, you know, review the inspection, you know, the history of the inspections, and make sure that the individual is in compliance with all of their step, you know, laws and rules that are applied to being responsible.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Mark, I may be misremembering, but I think the other consent agreements had state suspensions in them.
Oh. Okay.
And in this case, you may want to, you know, either a state suspension or a state revocation.
I would say revocation
of the premise license.
Of the premise license.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's an amendment.
Second.
And a second.
Thank you for your fourth and fifth. Second.
All right. Are we ready to vote on this? I think we're ready.
Let's do a roll call.
Let's do a roll call. Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James?
Aye.
Mr. Lowy?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
And Dr. Wright is an aye, the motion carries.
Thank you. All right, thank you very much. That concludes our IRs, and we have a turn in here. This is in section 4, number 2.
Member DeLore, this past case was I miscited the statutes. If you take a look at 32.2274, it specifically talks, I think, about the grounds for taking disciplinary action against the department of licensing, and 22.74.3 actually refers to a violation of section 32, 22, 33, or any rule adopted pursuant to that section. So in order to be extremely thorough and not have this come back to you on the technicality, can we include, you know, just have a friendly second motion just to include that as a violation.
Okay, that's 322274 as it relates to 32.
Actually, if you could just cite to 227403, that would be sufficient.
322743 is the conclusions of law.
Yeah, add to it.
Amendment.
Sorry.
And seconded. Can we do a
voice?
Voice?
Yeah, that's fine.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you, Mark.
Opposed? And that motion passed. All right. Now.